Heavenly Father, we know that as it was in the time of Abraham and Sarah, in the time of Mary and Joseph, when time of Abraham and Sarah, Lord, the promised Son was to come on earth and fulfill then the promise of God in flesh. And we see the truly promised Son, the royal seed, come forth. And we realize at that time, that Abraham's time, he called those things which were not as though they were, and God raising the dead and transforming human bodies. And in Mary's time, recognizing the same principle, all things are here and all things are available to us. Now that the Spirit of God was there, God himself, to perform his word, and we know the same hour is here today, Lord, that you are here, as Brother Branham said, that when your son and daughter sinned in Eden, you didn't send an angel, an archangel, or some messenger, but you yourself descended. So today, and we're grateful for that, Lord, that we are here in your very presence. And we know, Lord, at this time you are judging and dividing, even as it was in the time of Abraham and in the time of Mary, giving forth that one that would bring his proper, true, and wonderful salvation. So here we are at the end time. We appreciate it, but Lord, we know we haven't let us sunk in as deep as it should have sunk in. Be as sincere as we should. Help us today, Lord, to realize your great inheritance in us, this word that can bring forth immortality, bring forth the dead from the grave, and bring forth every promise of God, to in which true, Lord, we truly can say we hold you captive to your word today, if we only knew it. And therefore, let that word abide in us, and it will bring forth what it should bring forth in your presence, because in your presence, Lord, the seed is coming to complete ripening. We're at the end time. We know that, and may we not just know it, Lord, but may we live it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're at number 6 and things that are to be. Last Sunday, as we were studying this message, we did so with an eye toward discerning, or discovering rather, any last minute revelation or admonition or any scriptural principle that Brother Branham might be giving as he ministered the word to that mixed congregation whose very communities were going to be lost in the great earthquake, and he himself would soon be taken away from the earth, as he hinted on different occasions, and actually made it quite clear. Now, it was on page 8 in paragraph 27 that he began to refer to a principle that he had used previously many times, and which principle we barely touched, and only in a manner that referred to Genesis 1 in the creation, where God set forth his unchanging prophetic utterances. It was there that Brother Branham taught us anew, and perhaps for the last time, that when God speaks, it does not have to come to pass right at that time, or in a chronological manner that we might demand of him in order for us to understand, but it must come to pass and will come to pass in God's time and season. And of course, at that time and after the fact, you will know exactly what has taken place and what scripture is being fulfilled. Now, Brother Branham's first illustration was in the beginning, where God said, "Let there be, let there be, let there be." In this case, it was, "Let there be light." It might have been thousands of years or eons before it happened, but it come to pass, it surely must, and most surely did. At the exact time he stated this principle, he completely disassociated the prophet from being the source of God's word, and stated unequivocally that the prophet was only a mouthpiece and therefore just, and that's all, a reflector of the word of God. We read that where Brother Branham said, I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things and happen as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew, it's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It isn't I. It wasn't the seventh messenger. Oh no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man, and the message was from God, and so on. So there's a complete disassociation from the person. Had that complete disassociation from the person of William Branham been completely recognized by the deity cult, there would not have been a deity cult. What they were doing was attributing unto Branham only those works that God can do, and therefore in their infantile, puerile minds, even demonic minds, they tried to make him the Lord Jesus Christ, which, of course, today has cast a terrible aspersion upon this message from around the world, because nobody is willing to concede that there are those who are perfectly sane and perfectly in harmony with the Word of God that Brother Branham got brought without making him the Lord Jesus Christ or any part of deity. Now, it was Isaiah who, being such a reflector, spoke the word, a virgin shall conceive. Now, all that Isaiah could do was say it. Perhaps he had no idea what it meant, and certainly no way of knowing how or when it could be. And at the time or season for God to manifest the prophecy, those words, Brother Branham said, anchored in a virgin's womb. See, they have to anchor somewhere. They've got to have some manifestation, visibility. And the virgin conceived and brought forth that one, that child, that son who was called Emmanuel, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And it had to be exactly that, because though it was spoken by the mouth of a prophet, it was the word of God, and every word of God must be fulfilled. Now, here's what I'm looking at, and we're going to read some scripture so you'll know why we're stating a principle here. It's availability and it's usability. And when people do not avail themselves of those things which God gives us, then there is no use. And when there is no use, the person becomes a great debtor to that which was entrusted to him, is at fault, and defaults the word of God in his life and comes into judgment. Now, this works even in those whose names will be taken off the Lamb's Book of Life. So we're looking at a very serious thing here, and we want to follow carefully what I have in mind so that we may know what we're talking about in this principle, let there be, let there be, let there be, the word of God coming forth, but not in particular manifestation at that time. All right. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 7, where this really begins, because Brother Branham does quote the ninth chapter. And in 14 to 16, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou Horeb shall be forsaken of both of her kings. Now, if you were to take this and to throw it right into what you might call a strong relief, picture-wise now, to get light and darkness in absolute fantastic contrast, instead of the light going to the dark or the dark coming back to gray and so on, you would say, all right, this has got to happen. See? Now it says here, when Lamb, for the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good, and the land that thou the Horebs of Horus shall be forsaken of both her kings. So, the minute that you would see both the kings of Judah and of Israel no longer there, you'd immediately start looking for this one. Now that's not bad. That's not bad at all. But the point is, you are not going to dark to light. You are going to a place where it says that at that particular time. Now, when did those two kings cease? They ceased a long time before this one was born. So, you're seeing Brother Branham bring this out. And this is something that we have to understand particularly. When God says a thing, it may go from the dark, the most intense dark, to the greatest light over a period of time. Or it may come the bright shining light in the darkest period of time. You simply cannot take the word of God and say, look, I know this. Now, it's always wonderful that the people that scream the loudest have the marvelous hindsight, perfect 20/20, far better than 20/20 vision. because they can go back and quote in the Bible what assuredly did take place from a prophecy. But you hit them between the eyes. Well, tell me now, you're so smart, exactly what is going on. They will mess up every single time. Now, that sounds like an insult. I don't care if an insult. I'm not interested. I've dealt too much with people and commerce and everything else to even trust anything anymore or anybody. Now, you may have a marvelous experience and you trust everybody. Go ahead. I don't trust anybody. If I can't prove God's in it, I'm not interested. When I come to the place where I believe God is really in it, then everything else is gone. Because I've made a commitment. And the Bible distinctly says, what you testify with your mouth is what's anchored in your heart. In your mouth will betray you. You can't help it. That's why James exactly said the mouth is, to many people, a place of like a fountain with bitter and sweet water. He said, no fountain will do that. Yet the mouth will do it. So, what you see here, and I'm trying to show you, is that the time that Jesus Christ was born and went through that period of certain nurturing in the mind and wisdom of Almighty God, it says here that that land already then would have lost its kings. And you're looking way down the road, literally, as far as I can tell, hundreds of years. Now let's go to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and 6-7. For unto us a child is born. Now here's what happens in Matthew and the Gospels. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of government there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now the jealous God will do this. And who is he jealous for? He's jealous for his people. And so whoever his people are, this is the reference, whether Jew or Gentile, it makes no difference. Because remember, the Jews have no more claim to Abraham than the Gentiles do. In fact, the Big Dipper refers to the Gentiles, which is many times bigger than the Little Dipper, which refers to the Israelitic fold. So what you're looking at here is a distinct promise to the seed of Abraham, of whom the royal seed, which is this one here, was born through the flesh of the tribe of Judah. All right. And as Isaiah... Now, just remember that now, what I read. And in Isaiah 61, 1-2, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are blind, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, that's what it says about that one. Okay, let's begin to see the fulfillment of it. Let's just find out by looking back exactly what took place so we can place, according to Scripture, what part of that Scripture was literally fulfilled and what part was not fulfilled. So we go to Luke 4, 16-20. And he came to Nazareth, where he was brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the day, Sabbath day, and stood there up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recover in the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them in bruise, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. So now you see where there was a comma back there, there should have been a period. And not only a period, but a hyphen. And after the end, question mark and exclamation mark, so at least three of each. But the Bible doesn't punctuate anything. It's not a book you can punctuate, because it's a book. The Hebrew is pictographs. It's pictographical. And you could go 100 million ways except for the Spirit of Almighty God interpreting it to you. All right? Let's also go to Malachi. And let's see what Malachi says. Now we find in Malachi 4 and 6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers, Elijah shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, even and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite with the curse. Okay, let's find out what Luke said about that. Luke said here in chapter 1:17, and he shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. It says nothing about the children to the fathers. Yet they've all got to be fulfilled. So there should have been a period back there and a hyphen and a going on and question marks and exclamation marks, knowing one day it's going to be fulfilled. Now the point is this, how many years does it take for let there be, in A, the acceptable year of what he's going to do, and the part B, which comes judgment? Well, nobody knows, it's up for grabs. Well, if nobody knew the first part, how are they going to know the second part? Oh, we're smart. Oh, we've learned. Is that a fact? How much righteousness has the world learned? When our youth today doesn't give two hoots for God because he took them out of the schools, took prayer and everything else out, took them out of the homes, took out morality and everything else, and they say God is not relevant. And it's exactly true. God is not relevant to them. But the judge is. God is not acting as God when he comes down here as judge. He's judging according to word. Then God, the great executioner or executor, the great enforcer, will soon enforce the promises and the judgment that everything that was in the acceptable year is just about completely gone by the boards at this hour. And people do know that the judgment is here. Now, I don't know if you people know about this. I'm sure you do more than I do because I never know the first thing about TV. But our daughter has made it. She took the, from, I think it's a two-hour program. And it literally scared the daylights of a Catholic friend of hers because the sciences have declared it's all over. At the same time, the same bunch of idiots on the other side, oh, we got everything to come, everything to come, everything to come. You got the goofy liberals, they're nothing but Catholics, thinking they're going to bring God down to earth by making everything great. And you got the goofy conservatives like Rush Limbaugh, the Reagans, the rest. Oh, just leave it to the businessman, it's all going to be fine. None of them read their Bibles, and none of them give a rip. You know, today it's illegal to teach creationism in the schools. And yet nobody knows one thing for sure about mutations and anything else, but you're not scientific if you aren't become an evolutionist. Did you ladies know the greatest anti-feminist chauvinistic pig was Darwin? Yes, Darwin. I'll bring you the article. A man gave it to me. And Darwin said, and he didn't like the blacks. He said the blacks were slaves and the women were meant to be slaves. Yeah. Yeah. A little higher than apes. You being startled and stunned? That kind of talk never came from the Bible, honey. That talk came straight from hell and Darwinism and evolution. And your schools are fed with hatred day and night, class against class, color against color, tribe against tribe, ethnic against ethnic, philosophy against philosophy, the world against Christ. We'll hit this more in just a minute. Turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. That's thus saith the Lord. Elijah has to do it, the same spirit. Who's going to produce Elijah? I'll tell you who's going to produce Elijah that's going to make the world stand still, the Pope. It might, oh, by the way, too, I was misinformed about this man, Cardinal Wall. It is not Wall, it is Law. It is not W-A-L, but L-A-W. Cardinal Law of Boston. So my good buddy down south didn't get the name right, because I checked up on him twice. What when he takes over? The world won't have a plug nickel. It won't have its own mind. They talk a little baby Hillary. She's the one they claim's got this little microchip now that everyone's going to have for perfect instantaneous identification where your money goes, who you are, everything about you. They'll have your complete record, what you think, what you believe, what you do, and what you don't do. Free Hillary. I'm not interested in a female. Pope is what I'm interested in. Yeah. All right. So, now we already know absolutely and positively that Isaiah 61, 1 to 2 is partially fulfilled, and we know the same concerning Malachi 4 and 6. They were both said in the same breath through the same person, hundreds and hundreds of years apart in one case and thousands in the next. 801, 2,000 each to the next. Thus, in that light, we can look at Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Now, this is Lee Vale talking. I am not a prophet, but I am a minor student of the Word. 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born. He certainly was born. Born into the human race. Born into the Adamic race. He only took a part of the flesh of the people because a lot of it's serpent's flesh. That's why the egg was freshly created and the sperm. And in the sperm was the life of that one that was pre-existent. And don't get shocked. Brother Branham tells us correctly that that man, Christ Jesus, the only begotten, the beginning of the generations of God, of his family, was given a status that God worked through and in him, even in creation. And he had a form which was light. And don't try to look at the lights around you, the sun or anything else. It couldn't have been that kind. Because it came out of God, of whom the scripture said he is all light. And then to get to understand what all light is, in him is no darkness. So you're looking at purity of the infinite degree. The complete inability to change. Or to one thing about his mind or his judgments or anything else. Uncorruptible. That same one took the form of Michael for a while. Don't let it bug you. It's simply the truth. Just let your thinking go and let it rest. He had a theophonic form, which simply means he had a form that suited that part of him which was God. Which allowed him to take on a human body down here, leave the one up there disposed of. And that light came right down to being a sperm. Took upon himself human flesh. And he became the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which was not said of any prophet or any people or any group. Brother Branham said, we came just like him except for that one thing. Now, he didn't say we were just like him. He came just like him except for that one thing. He was all the oceans together and all the water covering the earth. At least 4 billion miles high compared to our drop in the bucket. But his quantity from God, the essentiality of God himself, is no different from our little pin drop. That's why Brother Branham said you can't put anything to it or take from it. And that's what man always wants to do. All right, we're reading. His name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, let me read it again. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Notice the child is born, the son is given. That's in human flesh. But the son given is the Son given by God. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Himself is interpreting this scripture 800 years after. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. Is that a fact? 2,000 years have gone by and it's still not upon His shoulder. The closest we know anything is when He opened the seals, having taken the book from the Father's hand. The Father gets off the throne when the book is passed back, the seals off, and the Son climbs upon the throne, and He's still not here. And Brother Branham posed a hypothetical question. Will there be peace upon earth? He said, nay, not until the Son of Man comes. With healing in His wings, the Son of Righteousness arises amongst us. And His name shall be called Wonderful. When? Well, see, Brother Dale, we're calling Him that now. I'm looking at something universal here, honey. Is it not the fact that He was born into the human race? Is that not universal? Yeah. That the Son is given, is that not universal? Oh, yeah. Is it not a fact then the rest are universal? Is it not true that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Jesus Christ, that He's the Lord of glory? To the glory of God, is it not true that God will judge this world by one Christ Jesus through the Word? And put it together. Counselor. When was He called upon for counsel? Is He called upon for counsel today? Not very much. Is He the everlasting Father? Who recognizes that? That Jesus only distorted, the Trinitarians got three gods. And we're accused of having two, which is asinine because our words are Brother Branham's words, and he's vindicated. He said, now there's two of them. Not two gods, two personalities, two people, if you want. Yes, one that could be at naught with the other. One that will want to make his own decisions against the other. The one who could say, Father, I don't agree with you. Yes. To those who have gone around the world saying he veils preaching two gods. The prophet's preaching two gods in. And thou stand with live, die, sink, or swim. He goes to hell, I want to go with him. Certainly. Because I couldn't enjoy the other place. And if he goes to heaven, I want to go to heaven with him. Because certainly I wouldn't want to be in the other place. I keep telling you, people are trying to sit on the fence. Have you ever tried to sit on a fence? Straddle it? Or put both feet on one side? It's very uncomfortable. One day you're going to get off. You can get thrown off a fence as well as off a Brahma bull. And I would sooner be thrown off a Brahma bull. In other words, have a wild, chaotic ride. Knowing what I'm doing, to sit on a fence until one day I'm pushed off. All right. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of government, there's going to be no end. Sit upon the throne of David, and so on. And God is going to do it. Now let's find out exactly what God did about all of this. We go to Matthew, the first chapter, and we're reading. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, verse 18, was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he's just, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Well, that's strange. This guy should have said, hey, this woman here is unfaithful. We ought to burn her. Yeah. Well, she should have been. She'd been messed with a Roman soldier. They should have killed her and the baby before it's born. That might make you think I believe in abortion. Not so. I believe the Word of God. You can't bastardize that which God wants. Be unbastardized and pure. See, the Jews were so mixed up, it was pitiful. Of course he was a good man. He couldn't see that this woman would tell him a lie. He knew her character. And something in his heart said, just a minute. Maybe there's something to what she's saying. Maybe there's some scripture for it, which he claims. And while he thought on those things, a woman pregnant without male intervention, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in dreams, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to marry thy wife, for that which is conceived of her in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Didn't say he was going to bring forth your son. Didn't say he was going to bring forth her son. His brother Branham said, this is an incubator condition. And thou shalt, now he turns right to Joseph and said, you're going to call his name Joshua, Jehovah Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now listen just a minute. It tells you his name's Emmanuel. Why? And it's just his name. The signification of it, of the whole thing, or the significance, is the fact that this one was going to be the residence of God himself. Doesn't say that he was God. It says this son is going to be called that. Now, if you're going to be called that, it's going to be because there's something there at that time, in that period, that fits it. Like Brother Branham said, the women, when they named their children under inspiration, was because of that peculiar time. And you'll find that. You notice that Rachel called her son Benoni, son of my sorrow. But Jacob said, no, that's true he is. But he's Benjamin, the son of my right hand. They watched carefully. And you can go to nations today and you will find their names are taken from the landscape. My wife's name is taken from a landscape. It's Rangan or Rungan, which means the rocking chair in which you rock. It was a creek that looked like the rocker of a rocking chair. So the whole family of Rangans, hogwash, they might be Eriksons or Hedberg or something. Who knows, as long as it's a Norwegian name. But you see, it's taken from the landscape. All right, you're looking at this. The name is given. And the name is given Emmanuel because of the landscape. At the River Jordan, God came into him. The name was given at birth, Jehovah, Jesus Savior. And remember now, Jesus Savior is now put into the second category, Emmanuel, which is not inferior, but is explanatory. He is Jehovah Savior only because God indwelt him at the River Jordan. God was in Christ reconciled the world unto himself. Jesus himself was the blood of God. See, does God have blood? Sure, Jesus. The life is always in the blood. Let's go a little further and find out some more things about this thing said back by there in Isaiah. We go to Luke chapter 1. Beginning in 26, the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God and city in the Galilee, city of Galilee named Nazareth. Sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. The virgin was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. That's a tribe of Judah. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came and said, hail, thou highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she threw a fit and ran out the back door screaming. No. The angel said, how thou art highly favored. She got down and grumbled and said, woo, glory, glory, glory. She told the neighbors, she stood behind the curtain and came on, and we waved and we smiled. What I'm trying to do is show you by sarcasm what goes on in the world. They call it God. Forget it. If this woman is truly a seed, and that angel appeared, there is going to be a rapport. Because the sheep always know the voice. And they don't have a spirit of fear, but a courage and love and a sound mind. So he said, you're highly favored. And she was troubled at his saying, but she didn't run off screaming. And she began to wonder in her mind.
Now, why does he say that to me? Oh, this man's a boogeyman. Oh, I can't stand your looks. Oh, this is too great. I got to just fall down. You know what I'm trying to say? She stood there. Her nature, the atmosphere. Not like Eve. You understand where Brother Branham called her a prostitute? Pick a pair. Eve should have said, get out of here. Can't rule and reign the world by the way you tell me. There's only one can do it, that's that seed. I'm waiting for the seed. She turned it down, as Brother Branham said. Now she was troubled. She pondered and said, now, I wonder what this is all about. Why would he say that to me? The angel said, don't fear, Mary, knew her name. Thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. Here you are. Same one that came to Joseph. Joshua, Jehovah's Savior. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Son of the Highest. God with us. Everlasting Father. Every one of those must be contended with. And the word of the hour was, Jesus, Jehovah Savior, God's in him. And he shall be great, so on. And watch, the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Shall give. When? It's none of your business. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now remember, there was no priesthood in Jacob. So Jacob supersedes Levi, or there's a royal priesthood. Now watch. And Mary said to the angel, boy, have I heard a lot of things in my day. Listen to the simplicity. You walk into Brother Branham's meetings. The pillar of fire hangs there. This man discerns. Right away there's a sweet spirit, an instant hush in the building, you know it. And Brother Branham said, you've got a welcoming spirit. How welcome was your spirit? You saw what Mary didn't even see. She saw an angelic being. How acquainted was she with Scripture? Heaven only knows. I don't know. But she stood there and something said, this is real. Nothing said, I think I'll just check this out. I'll get my blood injected in a rabbit afterward and see if I'm pregnant or not. I'm letting you know, do I really have the Holy Ghost? How can you believe this message with all your heart, live, die, sink, and swim, and not have it? How shall this be? I'm not married, no man has touched me. Or will until I'm married. The angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Now, if this is going to be the Son of the Highest, so the highest had better come, and shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Now he tells her, and behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and with her it's a 6 month. For with God nothing shall be impossible. For God standing there, God present, nothing shall be impossible. Now, if God stands here today, in order to begin to fulfill everything devolved upon this prophecy, then he ushers in the day of the judgment. What does the word judgment come from? Judge. Judge. Mary was judged right there. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Behold the people in Grace Gospel Tabernacle. We believe in William Branham as the prophet of God. And therefore believe in God, knowing assuredly no one can worship and serve God outside of a prophet. And when that prophet's message falls to the ground or is misunderstood, there can be no worshiping or serving, because that's how God does it. And they say, oh, no, that can't be it, because after all, we worship and serve God, and we are wonderful. I thought he was wonderful. I thought that was his name. Evidently, it's not. Okay, we go to John, according to them. We go to John 1. And in verses 1 to 14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Brother Branham said, if you make the Word Jesus Christ, you have three gods. So what he's telling you here, in the beginning was the Word. Was what? The literal thought or reality and the fulfillment of that reality lay in God only, because he alone was omnipotent, rather omniscient and omnipotent. So therefore, if anything's going to become flesh, it's going to be that one himself. Because it says it was, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, the Word with signifies that God did not delegate that to anybody else. He himself would do it and become it. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And how were they made by him? They were made by God himself in the Son, which is exactly what happened when he was on earth doing the miracles, even a resurrection performed. And he said, it is God who does it. I am not doing it. And Brother Branham just killed everybody who believes in three gods and everybody who believes in one God. He killed everybody in one fell swoop when he said, when they said, Brother Branham, what does it mean? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. You're looking at me, aren't you? Amen. That ignorant, demonic hillbilly. That blasphemer. He's, listen, when they see, and he said, I hear 10,000 people are following this message. I've got to shake them off. Too many. Brother, did he shake them off when he said that? You're looking at me, aren't you? Oh, they ran right there. They didn't stay to listen to the rest of it. Oh, no, they couldn't do that. They ran right now. Let's kill him. Let's get rid of this bird. Well, listen, we're going to get the result of his sowing before it's over. Don't worry. They're going to say, well, they, when they look at you, they look at God. Eh? You people of Grace Gospel Church, they look at you. Look at God. You blasphemers. You idolaters. You're so stupid, dumb down there. A bunch of jackasses that don't know there's a Trinity. Oh, no, no. And baptized in Jesus Christ's name? Why, I can explain that simply. It just means when you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you do it in Jesus' name. Nothing to it. We better have more than mouth. We better have guts for what's coming upon this earth. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him we live and move and have our being, and everything there signifies it. The light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehends it not. The man sent from God, his name was John, came for witness of the light, that through that him people might believe. He was not the light, was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now notice what it says right there. You're talking about God himself coming down, the very author, the very creator, in whom was absolutely everything, because in him was that omniscience, the everything there, and the omnipotence to put it right out there before everybody, before himself, and say, that's good. In other words, God said, that's good, because every part of it is my work and nobody else's. It's all good. And John bear witness now. Let's go further. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, they gave the authority to become the sons of God, or to be manifested, to know that they are the sons. Even to them that believe on his name. And it tells you right here, they could not be sons if they did not believe on his name. And if they believed on his name, they had to be sons, which were born not of blood, born of blood, nor the will of flesh, but the will of, nor the will of man, but of God. And it tells you these people are absolutely predestinated, even in a sex act. And a sex act is a wild, emotional thing which is almost uncontrollable. You go so far, you're off the deep end, you'll never turn back. That's how they get born. God's behind everything. God didn't want it that way, but man made it that way. natural. There's a supernatural generation that is a beginning in natural media, in a natural culture. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Science will split the atom. They're going to put gene to gene, but they can't get the microscope and see life. They can see evidence of life, but they cannot see life. And if you were to take a bull life and a horse life and a pig life and a man life and put them under a microscope, the only way you could tell one from another is the casing. But you can't tell what's in the casing.
What if God wanted to pull a double deal?
He's not going to, because he can't change his name. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he's telling you here, we beheld God himself made in human flesh, and the human flesh was his only begotten Son. And that was the glory of God manifested. And the word glory means assessment. And when you're talking then of glory, you're giving an assessment to God. And assessment is not put down in A and A plus and B plus or A minus and B minus and C minus. It's put not there at all. It's put into the intrinsicality. And you cannot see God. You've got to see a manifestation. Say, God said that's his glory, that's his glory. Christ is the glory of God. If you don't want to believe that, you don't have to. You do what you want. Let's go to John. Well, we go to 29:34. The next day, John sees Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It doesn't say, behold, God, God. It says, the Lamb of God. The sacrifice that God put on earth. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man, which is preferred before me, because he was before me. That was a killer right there, wasn't it? This man had his existence completely manifest before ever he had mine. And yet now this same one that had his manifestation before John ever had a manifestation, is down here manifesting 3 months after John was manifested in birth. And people don't believe in pre-existence? No, they don't. Except a bunch of goof-offs and us. We got it right, and they don't. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Wherefore I am come baptizing with water. John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit from heaven descending up like a dove, and descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize in water is the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptized the Holy Ghost. And I saw him bare record, this is the Son of God. He didn't say this is God the Son, he said the Son of God. Okay, let's go to John 10. I and my Father are one. Let's go to John 14, 7. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and henceforth ye know him and seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. I haven't seen him. And that'll cure the whole deal. Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and you're not knowing me, Philip? Jesus did the talking. Who was talking from the inside? He that seen me has seen the Father. They're one. How sayest thou then, show us the Father, when you've already seen him? What's the matter with you? Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He said right there, he's both talking and doing. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now that's not hard to understand, because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You're essentially one spirit. And this is from the soul now. But Jesus was the soul of God. Believe I'm the Father, follow me, being the very work's sake. See? Let's go to other scripture. We're not going to take much time. You don't find a whale of a lot here anyway. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. The 5th chapter. Verses 18 to 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given us the ministry of reconciliation. This is how it came about, that God was in Christ, that's Messiah, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and hath come into us the word of reconciliation. Now you notice right in here, that in this one person there resides two complete beings. Now watch. Here it is. That God was in Christ. That God was in the Messiah. This is how God was Messiah. He was in this one. Reconciling the world unto himself, which is God. not imputing their trespasses unto them. And it committed to us the word of reconciliation. So he's telling exactly what Jesus said, what everybody else is saying. Now we go to 1 John. 1 John 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which is seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of light. That's a logos of Zoe. The manifestation. What was the first manifestation of God? The light that came forth right from God. And the life was manifested, we have seen it. Bear witness, drawing near the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now let me tell you something. Brother Branham was with the Father way, way back there and was manifested in this hour. John the Baptist was back there also, and he was manifested in his hour. Isaiah was back there, and he was manifested. Jeremiah was back there. He was manifested. There wasn't one son and will never be one son of God except those sons and daughters were in the loins of God. And he talks of girding up the loins of the mind. They were back in there in the thought. And the thought became creative through the power of omnipotence and put it into human vessels. And it's the same life. It was in Jesus Christ, way back in the beginning, is that light that came forth, that life of God in him and God's mind and all, making all the universe and everything else, the Brother Branham described it, the two of them. And it's been there ever since. And remember, that life was in Jesus, and if it was, your life was in Jesus, as the Bible said, it had to be in God. Because if Jesus' life was not in God, you ain't got God. And there's only one way that God's going to do anything is generations come through Jesus. And that portion of life that was there was able to be put into a human vessel. And that's why Jesus himself became a human vessel and God went into him. And now we've got the same privilege of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And Brother Branham said categorically, the only experience that could come near your baptism with the Holy Ghost in mind was the experience of being a prophet. Now let it sink in. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. We make a full exposure. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And it doesn't say our fellowship is with the Father, which is called the Son Jesus Christ. Brother Branham was not Jesus only. And these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. All right. Having read all these scriptures, it seems to me, and this is my thinking, part of Isaiah 9, 6 to 7 has been fulfilled, and some is to be fulfilled, even as Jesus must reign and his kingdom increase, and there be no end to it. Because remember, he's on the throne in New Jerusalem, right? Now, whatever reigning and ruling there is in our hearts, it is certainly true that he has not set up his kingdom on earth because he said to pray, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God's headquarters was Eden, which has not been taken from the earth, but we've been kept from it. Check what Brother Branham said. Check your scripture. The cherubim are still guarding it there, even though the blood is there, but the cherubim will soon walk away. One of these days you're going to find right here you have immortality. Not when you go up the air, not when you go in the air. Here, in this cluttered, rotten, filthy, decomposing, spirit of hell lit, AIDS manifested, horrible society of beasts. And if you're some foolish virgin, Eden, tree of life right here. So I don't know if I believe it. Well, I got to believe that, or bless God, I'm never going to get out of here, let's face it. That's the easiest thing I can believe and want to believe at this particular time. The millennium is yet to come, and then later the New Jerusalem. He must be the greater David upon the throne. Where is it? That apparently is yet to come, Brother Branham said so. Notice, he was turned down by Israel, but will come at the right time to do it all. See? Now, the reason why I'm saying this is simply, Jesus is not God, though he is God by reason of being Not the Holy of Holies that God went into in a dark room in the temple. See? But the living temple. His body was the temple, the tabernacle of God Himself, housing God in His flesh. Even the Father, according to John 14, He dwelleth in me, and he that has seen me has seen the Father, because you're looking at the only manifestation you can look at outside of being a prophet. How fortunate people were in that hour when God went back on His own word to a degree. When He said everything had to come by a prophet and people will never see me again. But you see, they looked at the prophet and God was in the prophet. Brother Branham's not prophet, but God, neither is Joe Branham, and neither is anybody else. You know, you'd be surprised how many people try to rise up and say they're William, they're the incarnation now. Oh, yo. And anyway, that's for the birds, not eagles. Do you know that an eagle can spot a fish from 1 mile up and come down at 100 miles an hour and grab them out of the water? I'm glad he's our great eagle to get these poor little fishes like you and me. 100 miles an hour. In other words, Brother Branham said, those flying saucers, one day one will come down and pick you up. Oh, man, you talk about being airborne. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But if you're not in heavenly places now, you and I will not be then. So we see this and understand that some of the various names and titles that are prophesied concerning Him and therefore must come to pass, we can ask. Have all those names and titles actually already come to pass, or some that are yet to be? I simply say this. Brother Branham said, when that spirit that's in the midst of us becomes incarnate to us, we're crowned King of Kings. When was He ever King of Kings except in the understanding he really was? Nebuchadnezzar saw He ruleth in the heavens and the earth. No man can say no. We'll crown Him Lord of Lords. When was He Lord of Lords? He always was, but not in the consciousness of men, and not by people that greeted Him. See? King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that would be the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Son of David, the Son of Man, the Son of God. The Lily Valley, the Rose of Sharon. Every single one. That's going to be when we crown Him. So therefore, all of these names, though they have a partial fulfillment, it's just like we started out with the presence, and we started out with the Apocalypse, and the Phanerol, and the Epiphania. All of these, they're going on now like the Roman candle, but nobody wants to say it. It's like I read that report of that guy in the Dayton Herald. He said if the second coming was in parts, where people could see it, oh, there'd be a big scream. Oh, they'd talk it up, blah, 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 blah. It's already started, and they don't believe it. They don't. They didn't see a thing. This here, did they see a thing in that? Ah, oh, yeah. All right. That's so much for that. So there's coming a time that everything is going to be fulfilled in Scripture. That's why, Brother Branham, I believe at this last point. And if you want to know why I got rocked onto this, if I was talking, Vince asked me a question on this same thing. And so I decided I would lay the whole thing out because my own mind was, though I understood to agree, I didn't bother clarifying it, either to myself or to anybody else. But this is literally a principle that Brother Branham enunciated. He took us right back to Genesis. Let there be, let there be, let there be. When? That's God's business when. Well, when will I know? When it's fulfilled and somebody tells you. Well, don't just a minute me. How do we know? Everybody claims that Luther was the great reformist. History tells us. Who came next? Wesley. Why? History tells us. When are you going to find out Pentecost is chaff? When history runs out and the bride's gone. And the Antichrist takes over. And they say, wasn't this to happen? Wasn't that to happen? Oh, God. It's happened. And Brother Branham said, that's true. One day Israel's going to bow at the feet of Jesus and say, ooh, 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 we hope you're not that one that we crucify. Well, he said, it's all right, I'm Joseph, the greater Joseph. What the brethren did to him, they meant for harm, but it didn't do wrong. God meant it for good, and I turned it around. Huh? It's going to come, brother, sister. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue confess. The Bible's going to be fulfilled when? In God's time. Now the thing is, that's why Brother Branham said, When Junior Jackson, I think, had the dream, when they took a crowbar and cut the top off of a mountain, it was a pyramid, and inside was pure white stone or granite, marble or whatever, nothing written on it. And he said, gaze on this till I come back. And he'll tell them that was the seven seals opening the seven thunders. Did they stand still? No, they haven't stood still. I'm not talking about Junior, I'm talking about the people. Well, he does his own business, I care less. But they couldn't wait. Now they're going to come to the place where they can't wait now. And I'm asking you this morning, and you people, how long can you wait? Or are you going to start drifting? Well, this should have been, that should have been. How do you know? In patience, and in patience alone. And patience can only come by trials and tribulation and testing. In patience, you possess your souls in no other way. How do you know you're a master today? How do you know you're an overcomer? Well, bless God, I believe the word. For how long? And under what conditions? Your own conditions? Which you like? If you don't like this thing, you'll go another way, or you'll lie about it or something else. I'm not trying to hit anybody here, but listen, I know what goes on in the world. All I got to do, listen, why did Jesus Christ become a man? Without being in that human body, knowing the past, but perfectly relevant and open to the present, he was able to know every single thing that passed through people's minds. What they're tempted by, what they're confused by, and everything else. And I'm a man, and I can do the same thing this morning and read you like a book. I don't have to have the pillar of fire. And I got over 50 years experience behind me. 40 solid years of knowing William Branham. 1953 to 1993. That's 40 solid years, right? 40 years should end right about now. Thus we are into the principle of God's Word. Therefore, the more and more correct revelation, as we see what Brother Branham is saying, and catch what he is saying here, as he said in the rapture tape, thus it has been spoken, and thus it shall be, he said it three times. He's letting the people know it's been spoken. The things that are to be have taken place in the rapture. Tape. Conditions. So don't let loose of them. People got shook because they got all frenzied about Brother Branham in 1977 when he categorically said, and the Church Age book categorically says, it is merely talk. It is not true prophecy. The only divine revelation was the seven visions themselves, of which five had come to pass. And at the rate they were coming to pass, it could be 1977. Later on, he changes it. Something would have to happen awful fast to make it 1977 because the signs weren't in. And that gave me my clue. Watch for the signs. If you don't see the signs, shut up. What sign am I looking for? The Pope out of America. Do I believe I'll see it? I'm quite convinced I will, in the sense if I'm standing here. I don't think the rapture will have taken place by the time you get that, the people get the Pope out of America. Because you see, they owe us one. A prophet, thus saith the Lord, is the word of Almighty God and nothing else. As the shout is, I mean existing. Not only existing, the shout is, because Paul said the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout. The shout is. And you can't add a thing to it. And the voice is, it's open. Who's going to make the resurrection? Who's going to be changed? The trumpet is, and you can't do a thing about it because only those in the first resurrection are going to go to the wedding supper. Now, Brother Branham is speaking of his own reflected words in prophecy and light. He said, at the end of his message, I believe in the seventh seal, he said, when will it be? I think he said 100 years, 50, 25, yet tomorrow. Why did he say yet tomorrow? Because what if it was 25 years or less than 25 years. It could be any tomorrow in the day in which you're living. Well, it wasn't a tomorrow back there in 1963. From 1963 to 1993, we have 30 solid years gone by. And in March, as I recall, he preached the seven seals and thunders, which is now 31 years gone by. Is that correct? All right. The 25 years didn't make it. There could be a tomorrow any time before the 50. The question is this now. What if he doesn't come for 50 years? We have 19 years to go. Caleb, how old are you? About 14? You'll be 33 years old. You'd like to be married with children? In not too many years, you marry young, you'd be grandfather. Perish the horrible thought. But I'm very, very sincere. Jennifer, you're older. How old are you, Timothy? About 8? 10? How old are you between? Why, in just a few years? Huh? Whatever. It doesn't really matter. What if he comes in 19 years? You're going on 30, son. Dennis, you could be almost a grandfather. You could, too, very young. How are you going to act? I'm going to bring something very, very out of the ordinary this morning. You people here have already intermarried.